we saw that there were two very different but clearly intertwined Haggadahs, because both of these Haggadahs are mixed in together in the Seder Haggadah that we have, and it seems to be the only explanation for the unusual organization is to recognize that the Baal HaGadah saw that what Rav and Shmuel were saying were not arguments, but were different ways of understanding the Inyanim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, different facets of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Memela, the Haggadah had to come along and include both of them. But, even though they revolve around very different ideas, according to Shmuel, what we concentrate on in Yetzias Mitzrayim is Mitzvah, is Avonim Ayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. And according to Rav, what we concentrate on is that Mitzvah Odei Avodah Zorah Hayu Avisenu, which doesn't seem really to relate so much directly to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Nonetheless, the themes, in terms of the Chiyuvim of the Haggadah, are exactly the same. And each one of those mini Haggadahs, so to speak, has to follow the same Inyanim that we found in the Mishnah. Now, one of the things that they have in common, perhaps the central thing that they have in common, because, after all, that's the central issue that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about, is what do we mean when we say, Matzil Begnus Abisayim B'Sheva? What exactly do we mean when we say to be Matzil Begnus? That's what the argument is. That means that both of them are structuring their concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim around the notion of this Gnus v'Shevach, difference between Gnus v'Shevach. Why was that so? So we explained that that's so because since the Iker Mitzvah comes, as the Rambam says here, from the Zechor, it needs to be a recognition. It needs to be an understanding of difference. It needs to be an awareness and consciousness. Therefore, it's necessary to differentiate clearly between what was and what resulted. The question of whether one stresses this aspect of it or that aspect of it is not as important as the difference per se. And that's why we have the Manishtana, where the issue of the Manishtana is not why do we have these changes, but rather what has changed, what difference does it make? Manishtana, what difference is there to me in the fact that all of this has happened? What has changed in your life, in my life, with all of this? And this question we came to understand is the fundamental issue of freedom. It's to the extent that one appreciates the depth of the change, to that extent a person has gained an identity that allows choice, and that choice allows him freedom. To the extent that it makes a difference that is expressed existentially, a difference that's negea, therefore, to all future generations, to that extent it also answers the B'ma'ida that was bothering Avram Avinu. It provides you with a home which was created from you, Misheshis Yimei Bereshis, and that's why everything revolves around this central idea. To that extent, this is a review of what we've done until now, to that extent, we also discovered why the Haggadah revolves around children. Because L'chora, according to the Rambam, we showed that it shouldn't have anything to do with children. Bishleim, if you learn like those who shown him, and there are those who learn like this, if you learn like those who shown him who understand the Iker Chiyav of the Haggadah Shel Pesach is from the Higadata Levincha Bayoma Ulemo, then it means that that's the main purpose of the Iver, is to teach your children. However, according to the Rambam, the Higadat Alevincha, remember, is very much only a gilui milth of how to achieve Zichor. Because the Iker Mitzvah, according to the Rambam, is Zichor as Hayom Hazeh Asher Yatzatzem Mimitzrayim. In other words, the Higadat Alevincha has nothing to do, really, with the Etzem Chiyuv. From the Higadat Alevincha, we learn that when it's supposed to be, number one, if it had been only from Zichor as Hayom Hazeh, it could have been any time in the day. Anytime in the 15th. Now that it says we got it to Levincha Bavur Zeh, now we understand that the Bavur Zeh defines when to do the mitzvah of Zechira. What's more, that we got it to Levincha also makes it clear that I need to be Zocher in a way that affects my children. And why is that? Precisely for the same reason that the Moedah was a question about how I would affect children. In other words, the change in my identity and my awareness must be perceivable outside of me to the extent that it is such a reality that it even affects future generations. And therefore we find, it's really an amazing thing if you think about it, how the Haggadah Shel Pesach has evolved over the course of the years to being the central connection that many, many, probably an overwhelming majority of B'nai Yisrael have to being Jews. Even those that have no Shaychus to even Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and so on, still have a concept of Pesach, and still have a Haggadah Shel Pesach in their house, and have some element of Seder, no matter how perverted it is, and how many attempts there are made to make it relevant. But the underlying issue is that herein lies the connection to Jewish identity, and the reason for that is clear. It's because this, in fact, is the way in which the B'maida was answered, and therefore the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael was answered, and therefore the whole nature of our identity is ultimately to be defined. This is what we've seen so far. Now, because of this, the Hishamda and the Bechol Dor Vador Chayav Adam is very, very central, because if a person is able to sense in himself that it makes that kind of difference, that it's possible for him to affect the difference not only in himself, but it becomes now a difference l'dairis. Now, if you take a look in your Rambam, Halach Abov, in Perek Shvi, the Rambam doesn't say the words V'kol Dor V'dor Chayav Adam Miras Et Atzmei the way we have the Gerus. Instead, the Rambam has a different halach, and it makes tremendous nafkamina in terms of the din of how to be Mekayim. According to the Rambam, what it really says is, Bechol dor vador chayav adam leharot et atzmo. Ilhu ba'atzmo yatsa ata v'shivut Mitzrayim. So the Rambam learns that it's not enough to see yourself as going out of Mitzrayim. It's necessary to show yourself as being Yotzvi Mitzrayim. Because the point here is that it matters to you to that extent that it's possible to show that people around you should feel that you have that kind of feeling, and that therefore it's possible for them to pick it up from you. And as we've seen, the extent that Yetziya matters to you is the extent of your Jewish identity, it's the extent of Anochi Hashem Elokecha to you, and more than that, it's the extent really of the way in which you relate to everything that's around you. What is the deepest anti-Pesach sentiment that's expressed? It's interesting. The Haggadah brings out, because the Torah brings out, the one sentiment, and it's included in one simple word, the one sentiment that is totally anti-Pesach. Lachem, exactly. Lachem is the statement that is anti-Pesach, because its implication is that to me it doesn't matter. And even Shalit Yisrael Menachor Kofar Beikr, says the Baal Haggadah. This indication of the way the Torah views the Ben Arosha, that what defines his rishus, the fact that he's doing averes. No, this Ben Arosha may not be doing any averes. What defines his rishus is that he's saying, to me, it's a ritual, and it makes no real difference. Such a person undermines the whole aspect of Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're attempting to achieve over here. And therefore, the Torah tells you that it's essential to get under his skin, to make him respond, to make him see that there's a rejection of everything that deeply he believes in and cares about without even realizing it. That he will be, in fact, rejected by you, by society, and till the point where he comes to recognize that on some level, it does make a difference to me that I should be part. And once he recognizes that difference, no matter how small it is, from that already, he can graduate slowly into, finally, Aveda, with all of the Chukim, Umishpatim, and so on, which is the Ben HaChokham's Gasha himself in the end. Because not to care on that level is not to live. Those were the people that weren't Yotzim in Mitzrayim. That Ma'aveda Zeis Lachem meant that somebody was not Zeicha to freedom. Because in order to be free, you absolutely must care. And therefore, everything here in Mitzrayim revolves around the impact of that Karen. That's why the only thing that can lead us to doing something as crazy as being Makabel Torah, which is a shibud that is just unbelievable, is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzitzicha, nothing else is enough. Creation isn't enough. It's the relationship that's Makayev, that it's the fact that it matters to me more than anything else. So Mamela, everything about the Seder needs to bring out from Manishtana to Chayav Laharis as Atzmai, to Natskin of the Gnuts of Messiah, B'Shevach, to the fact that we need to be Ma'iru B'She'ela. Every last thing that I do is there in order to elicit care. It's there in order to destroy someone who sits there and goes through with it as if it's just a ritual they have to say and he can't wait to finish it and he can't wait to go to bed. That's exactly what the Seder is for. So Mamela, one of the things that you have to recognize and be willing to accept in order to even have a Pesach, in order to be shayach to the notion of freedom, is to accept that pain of caring. To be able to take upon yourself the burden of things making a difference to you. Because only in that way will any relationships make a difference to you, will any choice make a difference to you. And therefore, only in that way can you be free. So the first thing that Pesach demands that you give up is parivism. You cannot be pariv and still live on Pesach. It's impossible. It's the difference. Pesach is the difference between Aron Koshech. Pesach implies, I'm going to quote it already, whoever's going to be here. Pesach implies that to the extent that I can look at things and say, no, it doesn't really matter, after all I'm a centrist Jew, it's all the same, everything is fine. To that extent, you're bechlal not a Jew. Not Chassid Shalom, that said, but people really mean this. But to the extent that someone fools himself with the thinking that Judaism is essentially a part of a religion that is built around ritual and doing things, that, to that extent, such a person is without the insight of what it is to be Jewish. He can't possibly ask Manishtana because nothing is Nishtana to him. It makes no difference. The assert of Pesach is that it makes a difference. That's one thing. Memela, the articulation over here, this being Marbel Yidresh, the Marbel Asaper, the Meisit in the Drosha, sitting around and thinking about it and being an armchair general on Pesach is not enough. I have to see what difference it makes to me personally. When I care about something, then every little detail matters to me. If I'm playing baseball, it actually matters to me. What so-and-so in back in 1956, how many home runs he had, and every last number of Lesaper is important. Whatever issue makes a difference to me, makes a difference to me, and it's prote prote. Mamela, if it makes a difference to me to be a Jew in Yetzias Mitzrayim, I see as the yesod of that, and I recognize that to the extent that I understand that I know myself, to the extent that I understand that I am a free human being, then it's not shayach to say, well, I don't really care, that's just detail. I want to get the broader philosophical picture. That's the pshat in the kol amar b'lesaper. It's impossible to get a broader picture over here. It's not philosophy. It makes the nafkamina. And that's why, by the way, that sounds crazy, but not to examine each detail is the ultimate non-care. If a guy is paying $100 an hour to a psychiatrist and he's free associated, it's because to him every last detail of his life is important in order to be able to understand eventually a total picture. So go back into the history of it. He wants to know the details from the time he was a little kid. What's nafkamina? The nafkamina is because what I am now is defined from all of those details. And to the extent that I recognize those details and I understand those details, to that extent I understand myself and the male, I'm a bialim over myself and I'm a free man. And if it means paying $100 an hour, I'll pay $100 an hour in order to be able to achieve that degree of self-awareness. Halakha's kama, when you're talking about not a small-minded, personal, self-involved exploration of one's own roots, but an exploration of one's roots, one's cosmic roots, to recognize to what extent one's Olam Hab is Nagaya, not whether one was jealous of a sister or whether one had suckled enough from his mother's breast. Halakha's counter of a comrade, you should be willing to pay whatever is necessary in the price of being Derish and Cheker in the Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's interesting that the way in which we are able to be Matkur B'Gnus B'Messiah B'Shevach The way the Rambam defines it doesn't seem to make much sense. Please take a look inside in Halacha Dalin. Mitzorech lahatzil b'gnus v'lesayim b'shevach. Keitzad? Matchilu misaper. Shebetchila yu avesenu b'bei terach u'milfanav kofrim. V'to'im acharahedel. V'rotim acharavodat kochavim. U'misayim v'dat ha'emet shekirvanu hamokom lo v'yivdilonu mehaumot v'kirvanu liyichudo. Okay, this is its fair description of Rav's Haggadah. The Rambam makes it a little clearer than the way we would have thought from the Mishnah. The Mishnah, or even from the Lashon of the Braisa in the Haggadah, Mitchila Ode Avodah Zorah Hoyo Aveseinu, the Rambam explains that's not a matter of religious belief, Bialma. That's the matter of Teyim Acharaheva. It means a different life, a different goal in life. It means building your life around nothingness, around delusions. It doesn't mean that we believe in Avodah Zarah. It means that the drive, that our accomplishments, were in terms of non-values. And then, V'chein, Matchilu Vodia, Sh'avadim Ayinu Lefaro V'Mitzrayi, V'chol Hara'a Shigim Alonu, ומסיים בניסים ובנפלאות שנעשו לנו ובחירותינו. So far everything is good. That's Shmuel. So Rambam is passing both these halachas. But now look at the next words. והוא שידרוש מהרמי עובד עובי עד שיגמור כל הפרשה. How does one go about being מעצר בגנוס ומסיים בשבע? In other words, the Rambam learns that the drush of Arami Ovid Avi is not a separate Chiyah of the Haggadah that he brings in a separate Se'id, in a separate Halach, and he says, so it's after he finishes Noah, he should start a new Halach. Mitzorek Lidraish Parshas Arami Ovid Avi, as we explained, because the Lashon of Higadati, that's where it appears, the Lashon of Ania, that's where it appears, no. The Rambam says, that is the Mok. The only way in which one can go about being Yotzei V'chiyev of Matzil B'Gnus and Mesayim B'Shevach is in this way and only this way. That he has to be Doresh Arami Ovid Avi. Now, it isn't all that clear how by saying Arami Ovid Avi that he's saying anything at all about the things. I understand he could be saying things about Shmuel because we darshan at the end of Arami Ovid Avi, so our drasha here in Haggadah says that there's remozim to the various Makos, Obiyot Chazokis, Dever, and the Bizra Natuya, Zchereb, Moragodos, Kiloshchina, Botot is the Mata, Bobtim is the Taman. I mean, I can see this. Bayerid Mitzrayma, Bayareo, already that's the Shibud, Avodah Kasha, that's the Shibud. So I see how, according to Shmuel, we can come out saying that that Avodim Ayinu Leparo B'Mitzrayim, and the end, the Nisim and Niflos, the Rambam says here, and that we came out of Mitzrayim, all of that does indeed appear in the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. I don't see where it is that Arami Ovid Avi is saying all of these things that the Rambam claims it's saying according to Rav. Rav says that Matzil B'Gnus U'Mitzrayim B'Shevach is Mitzchilo Hoyo Avoseinu B'Mei Terach Kofri. So I'm not forever. Where in the world does it say that in Arami Ovid Avi? Where do we find this whole discussion that we're supposed to get out of Arami Ovid Avi? Now if you take a look in what Rav says we're supposed to say, which is here our introduction to Arami Ovid Avi, and what is that? Mitzchilo Of the Avodah Zarah, all you have a sin. It's interesting that this was said. Does anybody know when this was said? Those words, Mitzchilo of the Avodah Zarah, all you have a sin? When? Yeah, but at what point in Yoshua? What? No. This was said at the end of the Kibush. When finally they were ready to the end of Sheva. Sheva, that they were Lochem Eretz Yisrael, and Sheva, that they were Chaylek Eretz Yisrael. At the end of those 14 years, Yoshua gathers everybody together. Vayasov Yoshua Esko Shibtei Yisrael Shema. He calls everybody to Shema. Vayomer Yoshua Kol Ha'am, and this is the speech that he gives. In other words, exactly the same way that Arami Oved Ovi is what it is that an individual says upon coming to the Beis Hamikdash of being Yoresh Eretz Yisrael, he got it the Ayom Hashem Elokecha Kibat El Aretz. That's precisely what's happening here. This is the biggest Bikurim in history. In the sense that this is the first time that all of Klal Yisrael had come together standing in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the message of Yoshua, which clearly then must be parallel on a national level to what it is that the individual is doing when he comes and says, Arami Yovidok. What does Yoshua say? He tells them, Vayom Yoshua Koram, Koram Hashem Loke Yisrael, Be'ever Hanar Yoshua Vasechem Me'olam, Terach Avi Avraham Vavi Nochor, Vayavdu Elohim Akherim, Vayakach Ez Avichem Ez Avraham, Me'ever Hanahar, and so on and so forth. And that's what we say in Haggadah. What does Terach have to do with the Haggadah? What does Nochor have to do with that? I mean, these people have passed out of history. Gabar. I thought a dare that's this guy is Kikot and Shinoelah, right? I mean, the ultimate dare is Avraham Avinu. He creates now a new, completely new giving of himself, and therefore he's called, the Gemara says, he's called, they call Yisrael, it's called Bat Nadiv, because it's the Rishain to those who are Nodim, like Avraham Avinu. Bat Nadiv is daughter of Avraham Avinu, who is Nodim himself. So what? I mean, it seems a little bit absurd to stand up there, when you're coming in there to Yisrael, instead of saying, here is the logical conclusion of the first steps made by our great forefather, Avraham Avinu, who took the steps that eventually led us to this moment. Instead of doing that, you say the exact opposite. Well, actually, you see, there was Nochor there, and there was Avram there. And what? I mean, it really matters to me whether there was a brother of Avram called Nochor. And that's important to know for my Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. It seems absolutely astounding. And yet, the amazing thing is that it can't be a coincidence then that we go right back to the family of Nochor. Where do we go back to the family of Nochor? In the next words. Lavan. Exactly. In the same way that Yoshua says that Terach was the Avi Avram and Avi Nochor, the very next words that we start talking about is Nochor's family. And we say, oh, yes, yes, indeed, Lavan. That's right. Arami Oved Ovi. Oh, there was a fellow that came from Nochor. So already we see it's not a coincidence at all. In other words, if the Haggadah introduces the din of Arami Oved Ovi with the speech of Yoshua, is the pshat that it makes sense to show everybody that in the same way on a personal level we can discuss Arami Oved Ovi in terms of Lavan alone, in the more overall view of an Ummah that's coming into Eretz Yisrael, we have to take into consideration where Lavan comes from. That there's an Avi Nochor and Avi Avram. I think that's rather astounding, because usually we don't think of Terach as being related to us in any way. We think he's out of the picture, and here it seems not only do we have to realize he's related to us, but if we don't, something is missing in our entire ability to relate to Eretz Yisrael. There's no Yerusha Zahara. Yoshua has to say it, each individual has to say it as soon as they walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what exactly does Arami Oved Ovi mean? Does anybody know? What does Arami Oved Ovi mean? What? Right? Can you tell me literally what the words mean? I mean, this is such an important topic. Does anybody know what the words mean? Yeah? Is that the pashtus of the pasuk? Obeyed is with an aleph, not with an ayin. From the word destroyed. Lost. Well, wait a minute. Lost. So who was lost? Arami obeyed avi. It's referring over here to Lavan. How do we learn it? It's referring to Lavan? Who was the Arami? Lavan. And who was Avi? So Arami Oved Avi means that an Arami attempted to be Oved Avi. I mean, you see that grammatically, this is horrendous. Now, it's true that this reflects a drosha, which, by the way, the Targum on that pasuk indeed says, Arami Oved Avi. So in the Targum, this comes out to be the Targum Yonatan. It gives the whole drosha that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Metzarit Machshav Olamaisa, because Oved means destroyed. Right? Destroyed. Not thought about destroying, not attempted to destroy. So the Targum says, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu by a goy is Metzarit Machshav Olamaisa, so since Lavan Arami wished to destroy, therefore we say Arami Oved Avi as if he had actually destroyed. It's a drush. What about the pshat? Who knows a pshat in Arami Oved Avi? Does anybody know a pshat? Some of the Rishonim give the pshat, and I'm sure you must have seen this in the English translations of the Haggadah, because the English translation, most English translations follow the pshat. So they translated it as a wandering Aramite was my father. In other words, Arami Oved, as you said, means lost. So Arami Oved Avi is a description of Avi. He was an Arami Oved. He was somebody who was wandering around lost. Wandering around may mean in the sense it may not be referring to Yaakov Avinu anymore. In other words, according to the Rambam, we don't see this in the other Rishon, but according to the Rambam, the din of Arami Oved Avi has to be including Terach, Avi Avram, and Avi Nochman, right? So according to the Rambam, Arami Oved Avi means our forefathers were Rodef Achar Ahevel, Toin Achar Ahevel. What is Toin? What's the other word for Toin? So Ed Lamidbar, Oved. So therefore the Rambam is translating those words, and he's telling us, Arami Oved Avi means that we come from a family that was lost, that didn't know where it was going. Now you'll say, okay, so they didn't know. So Avram discovered it. No, says the Rambam. It's not just that they didn't know. There were two branches to this family. Don't you understand? They were rotim achravrit ha'chalilim. It's not that they didn't know. It's that they had made choices. They were the first family of free people in history. They defined the way they were going to live. One of them was Nachor, and he made his choice. The same day that Avram Avinu made his choice, they went down to Nimrod, and they made a choice. And one of them, there was a third brother, and he couldn't make up his mind. You know what happened to him? He died. That's what happened to him. And what happened to the descendants? What was that third brother's name, you know? Right, you know the story. He sat back there and he said, well, we'll see who wins. If Avram comes out of this, okay, I'll join Avram's side. There was no room for Paravism all the way back at the beginning of this. The guy who couldn't make up his mind died. The other two survived. And his children. Now, what happened to his children? Does anybody know? Who were his children? Well, what does it say in the Chumash? And? Well, who else? Exactly. Where did Milka go? Oh, so Milka ended up in the other end. Wait a second. So they split the daughters, right? And one of them, again, couldn't make up his mind. That was Lot. Starts out with Abram, ends up joining out Sodom. He thinks maybe that's a better idea. So these two families ended up being historical counterparts. When Yaakov goes to Laban, what do you think? They're playing games over there? The point over there was, which one of the families is the real Jew? How do we, even at the last moment when God finally intervenes, and they build this, I mean, the whole story sounds crazy unless you recognize what's happening in the background. It says that they build this monument, and at that point, Laban agrees not to come to Eretz Yisrael. Until that time, Laban was claiming Eretz Yisrael. As the Medrash, first of all, it says in the Pasuk, he tells his daughter, who now has joined the other side, he says, Achotenu, Atayil al-Piravava, you should be the one, as Rashi says, you should be the one who is Zocha to the brothers. And that'll be from us, of course. Therefore, the Medrash says that's why Rivka was sterile. In order that nobody should think that the brachas came from Laban. It had to be that Yitzhak was Miss Powell and they went through so many years of pain and so on in order for her to have children. And what happens as they build this Galeth, which now defines the furthermost edge of Eretz Yisrael, as they build this Galeth, what does it say there? It says that Laban swore in the name of, look in the Pasuk, Rebbe thinks. What does it say? Who's got what? And? Well, I can't hear. No, that's Yaakov. But take a look what Laban does. It says that they build the Galeth. So hard to turn the pages in this thing. Listen to this. It's beautiful, it says. He says, Elohe Abraham ve'Elohe Nachor yishpetu b'neinu Elohe Avihem. So Laban now says, at that moment when they're splitting up, he says, the battle is not ended. There's a God of Abraham, there's a God of Nachor, we'll see. And it all comes from the God from whom they both came. And that was Terah. That was the father. What does Yaakov Avinu do? Does he swear in the name of his father Avram, whom he always swears in? No. He refuses to mention Avram's name. He swears in the name of Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. Astounding. Why? Because he wants to show, I have no shyness to that at all. I am not coming in my claim from Terach or Noch or anybody else. I'm coming from a completely new claim. As far as I'm concerned, I can start from Yitzchak. You can go back with your Terachs and Nochers and so on and swear all you want. It's not going to make any difference. So the argument this whole time of Arami Ovid Ovid was again the issue of Yerusha Soret, exactly as the Bamaida ultimately becomes, and exactly what the Haggadah Shel Pesach revolves around from the beginning till the end. The tikkun of that question. So that means that the recognition, incidentally, a historical aside, I think it's quite incredible that the only other people, who is it that stakes a claim to Yerushalayim? There's Yishmael, who is staking a claim, right? So we have our model. That's coming out, Avraham Avinu's claim. And then you have the Christians that are coming out, Esav's claim. And then you have the Jews. There's only one other quarter. The Armenian quarter of all insane things. Why the heck should Yerushalayim have an Armenian quarter? Hot with a fella. Armenians? Who ever heard of Armenians? Back in America, Canada, England, you ever heard of Armenians? Ah, Armenians. And here in the middle of Yerushalayim, there's only four quarters. One of them is from Aram. They speak the language of Aram. Their main street they still call Rehov Ararat. after the mocker of Aram. It's an absolutely astounding. So that we should even have Ad Hayom, an expression of that original historical klema from Lavan, I think it's pretty amazing. So you see the extent of how much it was important to absorb all of the energies of that family. You would think that after Avram Avinu finally breaks away, he leaves Terach behind, then he comes now, he splits with Nachor, they go in opposite directions. You would think that that would be the end of it. I never want to see them again. What does he do when he wants to get his child a wife? Sends them back there. Why? Because it's the only family that's worth anything in history. I have to go and have a wife for my kid from there. And when Eliezer asks him, should I take him back there? What does Avram say? He says, as Rashi says, Ben Bini will be Choder Lashon. Because Yaakov will be able to go there and take it all out. But Bini ain't Choder Lashon. But nonetheless, for three generations, it was necessary to continue to absorb all of the details that that family still had in Lavan. Incidentally, if you want to do a fascinating exercise, take a look, analyze the genetic component of the Bnei Yisrael, and you will see that both families are precisely split in the number of genes that they have in the Bnei Yisrael, 1/16 to each, because of the bringing in of the women through Milka and through Sarah, it ends up that they split exactly 1/16 in all kinds of different ways, but that's the final sum. So what Lavan was signing is that I have exactly as much as Bnei Yisrael as you have, Yaakov. Go talk. And what's more, who was Lavan? Does anybody know who Lavan turns into in history? Where does Lavan again appear in the stage of history? No? Bilam, right? Lavan becomes Bilam, either directly with longevity or as a direct spiritual descendant. He's traced directly to both the Targum and the Gemara. He's traced directly to Bilam. Bilam has exactly the same claims. Lo kam, v'Yisrael kemoshe, but v'umos kam. Who's the kam? Bilam. The Gemara says, when Bilam says, mos nafshi, mos yisharim, that he wants to die the death of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He considers himself to be an Abba Uma. When he says, B'nei li b'zeh sheva mizbechot, the Medrash says, that's because he says he analyzed the number of mizbechot that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had built, and he saw that there were seven, so he wanted to build seven mizbechot, connected there seven. And so on and so forth. There's dozens of Ramos in there, even from the moment Vayashkem Bilam. So the Gemara says, he was Vayashkem to curse them. Avram Avinu had already been Vayashkem to bring Yitzchak out of Mizbeah. So it's a shock that throughout the generations, there was this incredible drive that they had to establish what it is that the world ought to be. They were ready, not stop, was. What? In Havolim. Because their choices came out of heaven. What choices? Were redifas. That's what the Rambam is medayik. Incredible the yukim that he makes over here. And so the Mela Arami Oved Ovi is much more than the desire to destroy, according to the Rambam. The Arami Oved Ovi is the insistence on a way of life that is antithetical to everything that Yisrael believes in. I mean, if you can put it into one word, the point of love in Arami, as we talked about Bilam, Lagavi Purim, is carelessness. It's the ability to represent all things as anything else. And that thing should not make a difference. The opposite of everything that we try to achieve on Pesach with HaKadosh Pesach. So this is where we find in the Arami Oved Ovi our Matzal Bignus and Messiah B'Sheva, recognizing the demands that were made on us throughout history to end up where we were. The pain that Avram went through in facing down Nimrod. The choices that were made by Yitzchak. What Yaakov Avinu had to suffer through in getting away from Lavan and in maintaining his integrity. And all through the generations, what we went through are expressions of what it was that we went through then. So it means that the Haggadah of Rav is the Haggadah that forces us to look at how a minor difference, what appears to be a minor difference thousands of years ago in a choice in what it is that one cares about, makes the difference that is cannot be any greater. It makes all the difference in the world when it's translated over the centuries and over the millennia There's the absolute opposites that come from it. So that everything that Yisrael is the opposite of everything that the Umas are. Incidentally, that's even Merumas in what we're called, which is Be'evar Hanar. That's why he stresses your Be'evar Hanar. We're called the Imrim, says the Gemara, because Kol Ha'olam Kulo Be'evar Echad Banachlu Be'evar Hasheni. We're always on the other side of the fence. Whatever it is anybody else is, that's what we're not. And that's the Abdullah of Klal Yisrael. Incidentally, that's Kufa why Arabs are called Arabs. They're not Avers, they're Arevs, which are to be mixed. That's why it's Yodo Bekoliat Kolbo. They have no sense that it has to be Dafka this way. It's everywhere mixed, Gizela, murder, and so on and so forth, because it's complete and absolute carelessness that comes from them. Here we have the first understanding of what a difference it makes that one shall make a choice. It sounds like a subtle napkamina, whether you look at things through Laban's eyes or Bilam's eyes, or you look at things through the eyes of an Avram Avinu. And yet, Adayom, you want to know what type of human being you have to do, you open up in the Sechas Aves, and incredibly enough, thousands of years later, you're being told, Ave mi tamirav shel Avram Avinu, velo mi tamirav shel Bilam Harasha, as if that was an Ageah. But you see that it is an Ageah. Here's a guy that has the same intellectual abilities, the same intellectual commitments, the same willingness to stand on what it is and to manipulate things, to get things the way he wants to be. And those are the stark choices. The same choices that you have ad hayom hazeh. So this, fine, I have to understand that this has a tremendous impact on my identity and in recognizing what I am. But where is this done in the Haggadah of Shmuel then? I mean, that we started off not understanding where Rav gets what he wants out of Rami Ovidov. But now that we see it, the way the Rambam is learning it, it seems that what Shmuel is doing is small potatoes compared to this. And as I understand, Rav is saying that it really makes a tremendous difference. And we paid a lot to get where we are today. And we earned each moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us because of another step that we had made towards our own Hashlama. What is it that Shmuel is saying? Where is the Yishamda, essentially, in Shmuel? Where is the recognition that's Nagea, Eretz Yisrael itself, in terms of Shmuel? There's only one place where Shmuel discusses Meferish, this din of B'chol Dor V'Dor Chayev Es Adam Mirat Es Asfor Gimul Yos B'Mitzrayim, and so on. And that's with the words Gimulo Es Yonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Mitzrayim Arayonu V'Neinu U'Bnei V'Neinu Mishru Badim Ayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim. That is, in the mini Haggadah of Shmuel, the equivalent of the recognition of B'chol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Kaloseinu and the battles that we have to fight in Rav's Haggadah. To Rav, the issue is, just like we had by Lavan, by Nachor, in every generation there are people who keep claiming that we are wrong and that everything that we stand for is wrong, and they attempt to destroy us for it because it makes that amount of difference to them. And according to Shmuel, it's the knowledge that in every generation we would not be free if it had not been for Yetzias Mitzrayim. We would still avodim hayinu l'farav b'Mitzrayim. Now, we are so far from recognizing this. We are so distant from Shmuel's Haggadah that we don't even understand what those words mean. As we read them, we think to ourselves, this is very nice, drasha, very sweet, and so on. But it's basically a bunch of bull. Why? Because if you look over the generations and the millennia, to say something as idiotic as 4,000 years later, there isn't even a nation that's existed for 4,000 years. There's not a single civilization that's that old. So to say that we would still be sitting there working on bricks from Mitzrayim or maybe be computers by now seems a little bit insane. What happened to all the political changes? What happened to all of the developments of this? I mean, it's crazy. It's unreasonable. Here, Araya. I mean, we've arrived at a point in our history where everybody is basically free. You have a few little dictatorships here and there. But essentially, feudalism is at an end, and certainly Abdus, Mamish Abdus is at an end. There's not a nation that tolerates. So what do you mean? Mitzrayim would have been the only regressive society in history? This is a kashrus that we ask ourselves subconsciously. When we read it, we don't really believe what we're saying. And that's because we don't recognize what it's trying to get us to understand. What these words mean, that the change that was caused by Yetzias Mitzrayim was such that all of society, every human being, the Chayav Adam Lahara says Atzmai, has been changed min hakotzer lakotzer. That through what happened in Mitzrayim, that people learned to value freedom. That it became possible to conceive of the notion of freedom. That through that we changed the world. So that when millennia later, there would be blacks that were enslaved, they would start singing, when Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. And that becomes a theme song. Go down, Moses. What's in the Jewish verses? Go down, Moses. Because everybody recognizes that's the mucker of the tribe, the freedom in the world. And the Mela, when Chazal say, those of you who learned brokers, know that the Tehillah that starts, Moravut Sarai, Rabim Kamim Alai, that the Gemara asks over there, that's referring to we have first Bochemes Gog u'Magog that talks about what all of the Goyim are going to do and how, and then it's, David says, Hashem is going to laugh at them, wipe them out, that's Gog u'Magog. And then he starts talking about the rebellion of his son, Avshalom. So, Gemara, what's the connection between the two? Oh, this is the Gemara, because people reading that first Tehillah, they'll say, this is ridiculous. But there can't be such a thing. Kum yesh eved b'eretz k'neged rabo? Because Gog u'Magog is the overthrow of imperialism. It's the demand for freedom of avodim. Is there such a thing possible? Says the Gemara, that's why the next parsha has to talk about Avshalom, to teach you that you should say, well, look, did you ever hear of a son rebelling against a father? But it happens. This will also happen. To us, these words are crazy. You know why? Because for a measly drop in the cosmological bucket of 200 years, gradually humanity has been thinking in terms of, oh, freedom. Freedom, of course. Why, if you're a human being, you have to be free. If you have worth, if you have an identity, if you have a self, how is it conceivable that a self should be a slave to another? We take it for granted only because it happened. At one time it was so starkly astounding that the Gemara needs to bring a riot that it's possible that people should gain this awareness. So as we go through the process of Geula that begins in Mitzrayim and ends in Gog u'Magog, you have a rapidly increasing historical change towards freedom to the point that every human being now cannot conceive. How is it ever possible about that freedom? Not thinking that a mere 100 years ago, not only was it possible, it was the norm. And that people that came around and said, people ought to be free, were looked at as a bunch of madmen. And wars were fought over the issue. Because it seemed so insane. Now it's like the most obvious thing in the world. We look at such people as being primitives. You know why? Because we have changed what it means to be a human being. As a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chayav Laharei Setatzmai, Le'enei Kol Ha'amim, V'yadu Mitzrayim, K'enei Hashem, Yetzias Mitzrayim taught the world what it is to be a human being, and Memela what it is to be free. The Shaychus to freedom, it doesn't start from freedom and then become human. It's the opposite. Just like in Mitzrayim, what happened to us in Mitzrayim? What did they do to us? They deprived us of a notion of identity. Exactly as the Nazis did. Exactly as every human that has attempted to destroy Israel. First, don't believe you're human. You don't have a right to your beliefs. You don't have a right to your money. You don't have a right to your clothing. You don't have a right to your life. Nothing. You're dirt. That's what they did to us. And the restoration of freedom to us was first the restoration of Ha'ish Moshe Gadol Ma'od. They named it Mitzrayim. Everybody had to see, no, that a Jew was on top. And that, therefore, little by little, B'nai Yisrael, it became important that they should be Yotzei B'Rechush Gadol. That it should be recognized that all of Egypt existed only to provide them with all of this money. That they should be Motzei Chein B'nai Mitzrayim. That people should recognize, these are important people. And as they came to understand themselves and the value of their own identity, as they were moser nefesh for those ideals that were in essence Avraham Avinu's ideals, to have children and to continue to believe in life no matter what happened, to rely on each other, that there were never daltorik b'nei, to recognize that what they were had to mean something, and that it was possible to live for hundreds of years under those circumstances. Then they gained freedom. They became free. That means that freedom is a totsah of the extent at which a person has become a human being. Choose, not necessarily an ability to walk around and go where he wants and do what he wants, because he may be in jail and he may be in a state of physical obvious. But once Mitzrayim happens, that becomes now a violation of the notion of what it is to be human. That's what is accomplished by the mitchila, that Tavorim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim, and now we were Yotzi. Come take a look in the Rambam once again in Halacha Daled. Look what the Rambam says when he describes Shmuel's din of Matko B'Gnus U'Mitzrayim B'Shemach. He says, V'chein Matko B'Modia Sh'Avadim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim V'Chol Hara'ar Sh'Gimalanu. That's fine. Then he says, "Umisayim benisim ubeniflaot shenatsulanu ubecherutenu." Now look, I understand why you have to have nisim and niflaot, but that's the halacha from Halacha Aleph. Mitzvah asay shaltaram asaper benisim and niflaot, right? That has nothing to do with matchil begnut umisayim b'shevach. Nothing. Here the Rambam is coming to describe matchil begnut umisayim b'shevach. What is the opposite of the gnut called avdut? Chirut, right? So the Rambam says chirut, ubechirutenu. Why doesn't he just say chirut? Umisayim bechirutenu. Matchilu modi ashavodim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. Umisayim bechirutenu. Why does he say umisayim benisim niflaot shenatsulanu? Again, clearly, because the Rambam is telling us that the nisim and niflaos, the points of the events in Mitzrayim, were the creation of how it is that we understood and recognized that we were truly free. If it hadn't been for that, then it would have been impossible to be Yotze. If we hadn't seen that he who created the world was made, that the purpose of Mitzrayim was there only so that we should be able to go out. If we hadn't seen, as it said in the Pasuk, that Lamant is Safer, Levin Chal, Ulevin Chal, as Asher is Halalti B'Mitzrayim. What is Asher is Halalti B'Mitzrayim? That I played games with Mitzrayim. That every time power was ready to give in, I upped the ante. And poor power is left shouting, but you didn't say that before. Oh, Tad Devavashim, that's not what you said. And we played games of going out for 3 days. You know, this is nonsense. Nobody thought we were going out for 3 days. But the point is, why Asher Yitzal Alti? That it should become clear for all times. Mitzrayim existed to provide a golus for the Jews. Not that there was the Yitzias Mitzrayim in order to get out of a problem called Mitzrayim. And in this, the Etzem, we have the unity of the two Agodas. Each one of these Agodas is Megala on the other. To the extent that a person is capable of becoming a human being and caring, to that extent is it possible for him to be free. The more he cares and the more a difference it makes, the more free he is. The more of an identity he has, the less possible it is to enslave him. That's clear. But where does such identity come from? How is it that a person can know that what it is that he believes makes a difference? That's the Agoda Shel Rav. Incidentally, this answers another kasha. The way in which the Rambam brings the halacha matchil b'gnus is mesaper shebetchilo hayo v'seidu b'nei terach v'chein matchilo modia shavodim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. So why do we do it the opposite? Why do we start off with avodim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim? And that's true in the Rambam's Agada too. The Rambam after Parakas describes the Agada. So why doesn't he put it in the right order? Why does he say first that there's a din in Maschel B'Gnutz, which is Mitzchila Hodei Avodah Zorah, and then say He should have presented it in the right order also. The Torah says that now that we see that the two of them are integrated, we understand that one is the broader context of the other. When Rav says you have to be Malka B'Gnutza Messiah and B'Shevach from a cosmic historical perspective, and that if you don't see that perspective, you cannot be Yotze V'Cheros, what he means is that it's impossible to achieve the Cheros of Avodah Mayinu L'Farah B'Mitzrayim unless this is recognized. And in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's exactly what happened. As long as the Jews made the mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu made, as long as we believed in Mitzrayim that we need a Geula, we have terrible tzaras, they're killing our children, we're in awful shape, we've got to get the hell out of here. As long as we believed that, we weren't so for the Geula. Didn't happen. Atzelo Yitzaltas HaMecha. Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, that got his broken, he says, look what a lousy job you did. Why did you send me? I didn't ask you to send me. The Jews come and yell at Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you making trouble for? Who told you to start up? Why did you start talking about Geula and all of this junk? Moshe runs away. He leaves the country. He's so embarrassed. However, after the Nisim and Niflis, when it became clear that this was a Geula that was planned mitchilas mishumer obam isheshes meberashes, when it was recognized that Mitzrayim was a vehicle, not the problem, Mitzrayim was the solution, not the problem, when it became clear that the beliefs that we had of being B'nai Yisrael weren't cultish beliefs, so that we could persuade ourselves of something that would be different from everyone else, but was in fact the talkless of creation, and that this was the way in which all history had developed step by step, stage after stage, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even tells Moshe, when he first tells Moshe, Moshe doesn't listen to him, he tells Moshe, tell them, tell them this is only the beginning. Moshe says, oh, that's a terrible thing to tell them. So what happens? He doesn't tell them. He tells them, And because of that, the Geula fails. There's no Geula with Eyeh Shlachani Aleich. You have to know in order to be Nigal that this is the beginning of a process whose end is only with the rebuilding of a Beis HaMikdash, with the rebuilding of an Eretz Yisrael, with the clarity in all of the world what it is that we've been through, why it is that we went through it, and why it is that it was right from beginning to end. That's Geula. And until they understood that, there was no Geula from Mitzrayim either. So maybe the two are completely intertwined. Of course we begin when we say it over from that which is simple to that which is more complex. But in terms of the halacha, the din of where it comes from, first you have to know that there is a broad context that enables the second one to be true. If there is no mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayo Avosenu, and you see how that developed and how we chose step after step to become, it's impossible to talk about we were slaves and we were free. You can free slaves all you want. All they do is move to Harlem and remain the same slaves they were. Nothing changes. In order to change slaves to free men, they have to learn to value what it is that they made themselves. That's the only way to become free. And so Mamela, the Haggadah Shel Pesach teaches us that there needs to be a complete commitment to caring. That to the extent somebody can say, Mu'avodah Zeis Lachem, and he sits and yawns, and he doesn't throw himself into something like it's the only thing that matters, to such an extent a person is marking himself from the Metzias of what Yisrael is. And he has to recognize, in order to achieve that, he has to recognize that he himself is another step, another door in generation after generation of a painful step-by-step movement that has as its stockless the tikkun of an entire world and which is expressing itself literally with ever-increasing rapidity. Mamish on an international stage. Somebody would have told you 20 years ago that not only will all imperialism disappear, but that the Soviet Union will crumble, and that it'll be impossible to have a dictatorship in 20 years, 5 years. So it's insane. How could such a thing be? The same reaction that the Gemara says that people will have to the concept of Milchemes Gog u'Magog, Kol Yeshevet Shemar Moed Barav. What is it possible that a police state have a Marie? It's not possible. These things are mitzarateva, not possible. But they're expressed because of the depth of the reality of ideas. And ideas are what we live on. And that's what our Gadol Pesach teaches us. Once your ideas are there, you cannot be kept b'shibud. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, was the ability to be ourselves. L'tov lanu, which is the teretz that we're supposed to give to the Ben HaChochem, as it's expressed in the Chumash itself, is that what are all of these things? They're to make it possible for us to have the kind of choices that make life worth living, and that therefore allow a human being to be free.